few weeks ago, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, a crowd of us were treated to a wonderful afternoon of music featuring the oratorio, The Revelations of Divine Love, composed by our own Carson Kuman. This beautiful piece is a musical reflection on the remarkable writings of Julian of Norwich. But it is also a dialogue between two layers of spiritual reality, the experiences of Blessed Julian and the topography of Nantucket Island. These two spiritual worlds are linked together through melody and song in a thematic relationship where each illumines and enhances the other. As I experienced that beautiful conversation, and as I listened again to the words of my favorite saint, I found myself thinking about the layers of reality that animate this space and time. The annual dialogue between Advent and the holiday season. At this time of year, we are asked to live in two realms of experience at the same time. As seemingly different as the revelations of Blessed Julian and the lighthouses of Nantucket. Like Carson's piece, however, if we place these two layers in juxtaposition, we may be able to discover and appreciate the melodic themes that give each of them their true purpose and their real meaning. Advent, of course, is a season of watchfulness, a time of vigilant preparation as we seek to train our sight so that we might perceive the advent of our Lord and our Savior. In today's Gospel reading, our Lord speaks of signs that will serve as warnings, harbingers of His imminent return. Just as budding leaves tells us that we should prepare for the advent of summer, so the heavens and earth will point to the advent of Christ the King, the return of the Son of Man, who will come in a cloud of power and glory. And so we stand at the beginning of this season of watchfulness, a season when we are told to watch patiently, looking for signs of a coming Savior, for budding leaves that will foretell His imminent return. Now, 2 weeks ago, I turned on the television on Thanksgiving morning, and I found myself confronted by signs of the imminent return of another long and awaited king, the advent of Santa Claus in the annual Macy's Parade. Now, although it may sound a bit ridiculous and disrespectful, I suddenly became intrigued with the relationship between that glittering parade and the focus of this watchful season, these two layers of experience that so overlay and permeate our lives in the month of December. What initially struck me about that stream of color and floats and music was that it was a celebration that truly marked the beginning of a season of expectation and preparation, a season of wishful thinking. That parade was a winding ribbon of fantasy, inviting viewers into a world of glitter and glamour where stars and celebrities smiled and sang benignly from richly decorated rafts of color, while enormous cartoon characters floated majestically over their heads, all bracketed by the corridor of skyscrapers. It was as if a crack had opened up in reality. And suddenly, along the thin line of a city street, a fantastic world appeared. It was a world of fantasy, complete with the return of its own mythic king, The advent of the venerable monarch of the North Pole, who actually rode into this festive scene on his own cloud of glory. And as I sat there watching, I couldn't help but see a relationship between these two seasons of expectation. The coming of Advent and the glittering progress of this holiday parade. Suffice it to say that I saw a certain parallel between these two rites of the season, but the more that I thought about their similarities, the more I became conscious of one important and essential difference. Recently, I've been struck by how many people have confessed to me how much they dread the holiday season. Now, these are not people who are simply weary of the hectic pace and the demands of shopping and entertaining. No. These are folk who honestly dread the season, who find it to be a confusing and frustrating time of year filled with a certain bitterness and disappointment. These people are the victims of wishful thinking, the casualties of the holiday parade, and their bitterness is rooted in the barren soil of unmet expectations. At one time, I am certain, they enjoyed the illusion of the holidays, but they have now tired of its seasonal tricks. And they have learned that such wishful thinking, as pleasing as it seems, is rarely truly satisfying. You see, the holiday season, like Macy's parade, is essentially a creature of wish and fantasy. A moment of time when we annually give rein to the imagination of our hearts. When we fervently wish for that which we think we really want. As children, we wish for presents. And I'm sure that all of us harbor memories of wish lists that would have undoubtedly sunk Santa's sleigh. As adults, our wishes have become more complex. We wish for security and prosperity. And so we cover our tables, our houses, and our trees with glittering symbols of beauty and abundance. We wish for love and acceptance. And so we spend hours of time and mountains of energy carefully constructing opportunities for companionship and fellowship, from holiday parties to Christmas cards. We wish for a world that is free from pain and ugliness. And so we cover the ugly with gaudy trappings and we dull our senses with holiday cheer. We numb our sense of reality so that we can only see and feel the joy of the season. The holiday season is designed to encourage wishful thinking, to entice us to join in a fanciful, whimsical parade, a parade that makes us feel for a moment that things are not as ugly and brutal as they often seem to be. Against this powerful current of holiday magic swims the message of Advent. Also a season of watchful expectation, but a season which looks for joy in a very different direction. The season of Advent is not about wishes or wishful thinking. It is not about security or prosperity, our momentary efforts to make ourselves appear more loving and more lovable. The season of Advent does not call us to exercise our imaginations, but bids us instead to look within our hearts and our souls for the seeds of our desire. Wishes are rooted in fantasy, in make-believe, and magic. They are important means of escape and relief, to be sure, through which we often find refreshment and recreation, but they are never really satisfying, because they are not real. When I am hungry, I may wish for a 5-course meal, but my desire, my hunger, is for real food that will provide me with nourishment and sustenance. No one understood this better than Julian of Norwich, who longed for God and wrote of the love of Christ as, and I quote, "the endless fulfilling of all true desires." Advent is about our desires, our hungers. It is about our need for a Savior, about our deep longing for a God who will fill us with grace and mercy and love and carry us through all the seasons of our life, even our death. It is about our desire for a Savior who will accept us in our weakness and our insecurity, and who will reach out to us through the pain and ugliness that often surrounds us. Advent is a season of watchfulness, when we learn to watch through the eyes of our desire for a Savior who brings real food instead of culinary fantasies. Now, when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your head, because your redemption is near. During Advent, we are asked to look for signs. For signs heralding the coming of the Savior. We can look to the stars in the heavens or to the distress of the nations, but more often than not, such visions will produce more confusion than clarity. It is far more important for us to direct our gaze within, to look into the deep recesses of our own hearts and minds, seeking to discover there our true needs and our real desires. It is only by knowing and feeling our need for Christ that we can begin to discover the incredible depth of God's love for us. You see, my good friends, our Lord once chose to ride in a parade. And like Macy's Santa Claus, he was swept into the city on a tide of wishes and fantasies, on clouds of hosannas and palms. Jesus, however, chose the pilgrimage of the cross rather than the parade of the palms. He chose the plain and painful fabric of our ordinary lives rather than the tapestry of glittering fantasies. In a similar fashion, our Advent pilgrimage will carry us to a manger in Bethlehem, where we raise our heads to discover a Lord who comes to be known to us through the stark vulnerability of a crying child. This is a Lord of reality, not of fantasy or of wishful thinking. It is a God who knows intimately our need for salvation, and who offers us freely the redemptive gifts of graceful love and healing mercy. This morning is, of course, as my dear friend Jonathan pointed out, the last time that I will speak to you from this pulpit as your minister. And given that fact, I would be sorely remiss if I did not hold before you one important aspect of this point that I am laboring to make. This memorial church is in a time of transition. A blessed and confusing time when the signs and realities of our common life are shifting, morphing, and being reconstituted and reconfigured. Such times invite us to reflect upon and explore what it is that we truly need, not what we wish for, but what we truly desire. You may wish, for example, for a certain kind of liturgy, a particular style of preaching, a specific brand of pastoral care or ministerial outreach. But what you need, my friends, are prayers that are inspirational, sermons that are uplifting and challenging, and ministries that are rooted and anchored in a loving response to the call and mandates of the gospel. In the words of the street philosopher of my generation, you can't always get what you want, but if you try real hard, you can get what you need. You, my dear friends, have all that you need, and so very, very much more. Let go of any wishes that inhibits you from embracing and cherishing and celebrating this new chapter of your common life of worship and ministry. Embrace and celebrate them all, and they will become signs for you, signs and vehicles of the coming Lord. The glittering magic of the holiday season soon begins to fade, often leaving behind a somewhat stale and sour aftertaste of unmet expectations. Our journey through this Advent and through this time of transition places us within a world permeated with the traces of the divine. It is a world that is filled with signs of a living and loving God. Those signs bid us to look up, to raise our heads, seeking to see signs of the Lord who comes to us in and through the reality He has redeemed. We must be watchful, looking behind the gaudy glitter and good cheer of the holiday season into the shadows of reality that lie behind. We must be watchful with a vision that is fashioned and formed by our hungers, our needs, and our deepest longings, those realities that lie behind all the fantasies and give them life. We must be watchful, looking for the signs of God's salvation, fully prepared to greet His coming with hymns of unbridled, heartfelt praise and thanksgiving. Amen.